One of the things that's kind of interesting here, and it relates to the case we presented to the surgeon, to everybody, aunts and all, was that we presented a case of a patient who had a HER2 that was called 1 plus 1 IHC. And according to the guidelines, that's it. You're done. And in the survey, there were a fair number of docs, particularly in practice, who said, well, I'd fish that tumor. First of all, would you fish that tumor?
I would. I mean, the key thing is for these guidelines, you know, what does 1 plus mean? And in the guidelines, it's assumed that you're doing HER2 testing by a validated IHC assay. If your assay has not been validated, then we don't know what a 1 plus
means. So you've got a 1 plus in a validated lab. Then what? You still fish it?
That gives me somewhat more confidence. But personally, my practice is to fish those anyway.
And what do we know about tumors that are IHC, let's say 1 plus, but FISH positive in terms of benefit of trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting?
You know, it happens so infrequently that the hazard ratios of those subsets in B31 and NCCTG are trending in the direction favoring trastuzumab, but the confidence limits overlap. So these are such small numbers of cases that you can't say with confidence, based on, you know, clinical evidence from the adjuvant trials, whether they respond. But I think it's very likely that they do.
And so it's interesting. You're on the paper, and yet you don't agree with the guideline.
I think that's true. I mean, these are consensus panels. Remember, guidelines are established to define some minimum kind of floor standard. It doesn't mean that you can't do better than this. This is just the bare minimum that everyone should conform to so that we can all talk about the same types of assays. I think that I, in fact, do disagree with some of the conclusions, but when you're part of a consensus panel, at some point you have to just understand that these are really for widespread community practice, real-world conditions, and it may not be precisely what I would want to do in my own lab, for example.
Interesting. So what do we know about the frequency of tumors that are IHC 1 plus but FISH positive, frequency of tumors that are IHC 0 and FISH positive?
They're infrequent. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, especially if quality IHC assays are utilized, then...
I mean, less than 5%?
Yeah, less than 5%, I would say.
What about IHC 0? Would you also fish that?
It depends on the clinical context, and it depends on the lab. So in the clinical context, for example, of a well-differentiated tubular carcinoma that's strongly ER positive, I'm not going to fish a case like that if they're IHC 0. It fits the clinical scenario. Moreover, lobular cancers, a pure lobular that's an IHC 0 or 1 plus, lobular cancers are rarely HER2 amplified. So really the clinical context is also important in making these kind of determinations.
You mentioned the issue of making sure that it's the invasive component that's looked at. And in fact, that's in the trees they put in there. They put invasive component.
Absolutely.
How challenging is it, or how much of a problem is it to have that done correctly? Is it usually straightforward or not that straightforward?
It's not that straightforward. I mean, even on H&E staining or even an immunostaining, it still takes a trained pathologist to, you know, be able to identify the invasive versus non-invasive areas. And we've all seen at tumor boards that at times that can be challenging. It can be challenging to know whether DCIS is pure DCIS or whether there might be microinvasion. I mean, this is what specialists, you know, argue about at tumor boards. So imagine taking that whole argument and then sticking it in the dark. And that's where you are with FISH. So it adds yet another level of complexity to the mix, and it's a real challenge.